This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation, everybody. This is your host, Jack Thiel, and today we've got a nice show on hand. So today we're going to talk about the past two series the White Sox have played, which was against the Seattle Mariners and the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to take a look at this week's matchups, which include a doubleheader, a series against the Guardians, as well as a series against the Twins. We're going to talk about Leury Garcia's struggles and why do we keep seeing him in the lineup. We're also going to talk about the pitching rotation and what we can expect. So obviously we've seen guys like Dylan Cease and Culpepper perform, but sometimes that's just not going to do it, and what the White Sox need to do to sustain that success until Giolito and Lynn come back. And of course we're going to do our bold predictions. So with that being said, let's go into last week's games for the White Sox. So for the White Sox, they started off their home stand for the first time all year long. They faced off against the Seattle Mariners. They were able to win that first game 3-2. It was a back-and-forth matchup, but the White Sox were able to come back and win. Vince Velasquez was on the mound and started. He threw four innings of work, two hits, only one earned run. He did walk three, but the bullpen did a great job. Bennett Sosa threw two-thirds of scoreless innings. Ronaldo Lopez threw an inning and two-thirds. Bummer threw two outs. Grayman threw an inning. And Hendricks threw an inning, gave up a run, but still recorded a save. The White Sox would go on to win that game 3-2, extend their win streak to three. Then the next day, the White Sox won once again. It was a big second inning as Eloy and TA provided run support for the White Sox. Dallas Keuchel was on the mound as well. Keuchel threw five innings of work and only gave up three runs, and the bullpen came in and threw four scoreless innings, and Liam Hendricks recorded once again another save, and Tim Anderson had himself a three-hit performance, a single, a double, and a home run. And then in the finale of the series, unfortunately, the White Sox cannot get it done. Jimmy Lambert was on the mound, and the offense just wasn't there as well, only recording four hits, two of those coming from Tim Anderson. But Bennett Sosa had a couple of rough pitches alongside Jose Ruiz. The White Sox chipped it to a one-run deficit, but in the seventh and eighth inning, the Mariners would score and eventually, like I said, go on and win the game. And then after that, the White Sox welcomed the Tampa Bay Rays to Chicago. On Friday night, the White Sox won the first game 3-2. It was an absolute gem on the mound from Dylan Cease. He threw 5 2/3 of innings, three hits, only one run, and eight strikeouts. Kendall Graveman threw another scoreless inning, and Hendricks got it through a scoreless save. But also, it was a big game for Jake Berger. Berger had a home run to left field, but also an RBI single in the fifth. He was responsible for two of the three runs, which ultimately helped the White Sox get that win. And then on Saturday, the White Sox won another close one, 3-2. The Tampa Bay Rays took a lead, but Jose Abreu hit his first home run in the fourth inning. And Yasmani Grandal had the go-ahead and game-winning hit in the bottom of the sixth. A great start for Michael Kopech, who threw five innings of work, only one hit, no runs, and five strikeouts. Liam Hendricks almost another save, but nevertheless, he threw a scoreless inning and recorded that save. And then on Sunday, it was a little rough one for the White Sox as it was Vince Velasquez on the mound. He had himself a really rough first inning. Couldn't really locate his pitches at all. He committed, I believe, two errors, if I'm correct, in the inning with three walks. And then the offense was kind of silent after that as well. The Sox had many chances to come back with the bases loaded, but just could never convert. And then the Rays took full advantage in the eighth inning by scoring four runs and ultimately winning the game 9-3. And the White Sox would finish this week at 6-3, and they would finish the week in general in those six games, 4-2, winning their third consecutive series. The White Sox have won all series so far. And here we are today. I think it's also important to notice that the last two games for the White Sox have been postponed against the Guardians. So they were supposed to play the Guardians Monday and Tuesday. The Monday game, well, the first thing I guess I should say is that there's snow in Cleveland. So on Monday's game, it will be made up on July 12th. Today's game, which is recorded on Tuesday, that game will be part of a doubleheader on April 20th. So a doubleheader will be on the 20th against the Guardians. And then I think that's important to notice. So we'll talk about those games a little bit after and later in the show. But for right now, we're kind of going to look at this past week, kind of what our takeaways were from it. And the first thing is the sluggish play of Leary Garcia. Now, Leary Garcia got himself an extension and got paid the most money this offseason by the White Sox, I believe. I don't know the extent of it, but I believe he was one of the highest paid free agents for the White Sox, not in the MLB, obviously, but just the White Sox. But problem is that he has looked just I don't know. I'm not trying to be hypocritical here, but he just really looks lost out there. And I don't know what it is out of him, but it's really becoming a concerning fact just due to the fact that Leary Garcia on the year so far, he is batting .043. No home runs, no RBIs, no stolen bases. He has an OPS of .130. In terms of this year in general, he's 1-for-23. With 4 strikeouts. And if you look at his Statcast numbers in the MLB percentile rankings, he is a bottom low in weighted on base average, weighted expected batting average, expected slugging. He is one of the worst hitters so far in barrel percentage and walk percentage. He is also one of the worst hitters right now in chase rate and outs above average. Now, the good thing is that his sprint speed is really good. He also is on his place. I guess we'll give that one to Leary. But he is having a hideous just start to the year. And he just looks lost out there. And I don't know what it is. I really don't know what is going on with Leary. Leary, you know, White Sox fans know that Leary has had his moments. Like, Leary had the go-ahead home run in the AL Division Series against the Astros that helped us kind of win that game, you could say. So, you know, I guess it's like, the White Sox fans are used to this Leary Garcia. Like, they're used to Leary Garcia being like this, kind of up and down. But it's not even just the hitting. The defense has really been rough. He has 3 errors already. 2 at second base, 1 at shortstop. There are a couple of those were very easy plays to make, and he just didn't. And you got to wonder, what is going on with Leary Garcia? Now, I think what makes it frustrating to see Leary Garcia struggle is the fact that Tony La Russa tends to favor him in the lineup, meaning, well, A, he's featured in the lineup a lot, and B, that he's batting higher. Like, he is batting above guys like Andrew Vaughn, Josh Harrison, Jake Berger. When all 3 of those guys are obviously playing a lot better than Leary Garcia. And I get it. It's because he's a switch hitter in the matchups. But at the end of the day, he's just not performing well at all. And you really just, I understand, like, players can get better by working out the kinks and just, you know, practicing. And the only way you get better is by playing. But when it's on this kind of level of just, I should not seem to say low, it's just underachieving Like, you have to rest him or send him down. I know they're not going to send him down. That's not smart at all. But he's obviously really struggling right now. And not just on a level, just in the MLB. I mean, he hasn't drawn a walk at all. And the White Sox this year have actually done a great job in drawing walks. So Leury García has played 7 games. He has had 23 at-bats, the same as Andrew Vaughn. He's had more at-bats than Jake Berger, Gavin Sheet, Adam Engel, AJ Pollock, but obviously Pollock's on hurt and he's on paternity leave. But out of everyone that's played 7 games, there is one player that does not have a walk. That is Leury García. Now, I know there's other guys like Luis and Tim that only have one walk and they've had a lot more at-bats. But they're also playing good baseball. I know Luis Roberts kind of hit a schneid. A lot of his at-bats have been kind of screwed over, meaning like he just hits the ball so hard and it's right to the guys. But TA's batting almost 400 out of the gate. So you really are concerned for Leury García. And I really don't know what's going to fix it, just due to the fact that it seems like we see a version of this Leury García throughout the years that he's been with the White Sox. And you just hope that he can pick it up and get better, because Leury, even though Leury isn't like that good, he's still valuable to the team just due to the fact that A, he's very versatile and he can play around on the field a lot. And B, I mean, he is a switch hitter. And that is always a nice aspect to have in your lineup. So we're going to go to our next subject before our break, and it's going to be the pitching, and specifically the pitching of Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech. Now, going into this year, Dylan Cease was a 3-guy, and Michael Kopech was your 4-guy. And the fifth spot was going to be a fight between multiple pitchers. Well, here we are talking on April the 19th, and Dylan Cease is now the number one pitcher for the White Sox, and Michael Kopech's the number 2, obviously due to injuries to Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito. But Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech have done a great job in showing that, A, they can be top starters in rotations, and B, they got the stuff to really elevate this rotation when everyone comes back healthy. Now we're going to start off with Dylan Cease, because Dylan Cease has someone I've advocated that could definitely be a Cy Young winner this year. I've said it, you know, in the past podcast and kind of at the end of last season's podcast, that Dylan Cease has the best stuff on the rotation by far. It is not even close. It just comes down to getting that confidence, coming down to putting it all together for him. And I think we're seeing that right now for Dylan Cease, especially in the slider and fastball. Now, according to StatCast, Dylan Cease has used his slider 2 more times more than his fastball. His slider's at 41%, his fastball's at 40%, he has a curve at 12%, and his changeup's at 5%. But something that was interesting is that Dylan Cease was never just a fastball pitcher. And going in 2021, Dylan Cease threw his fastball 46% of the time and his slider only 30% of the time. And now his slider, I know it's early in the year, it's only 2 starts, but it's above his fastball. And Dylan Cease is also, in terms of his pitches, pitching-wise, he is really making hitters struggle at the plate. So in 170 pitches, only 20 balls have been batted. That means if it was in play or not. None of those have been barrels. Barrels means that ball was crushed, basically. The average exit velocity is 85.1, career best. The average height goes about 103, career best. The average expected batting average is 185, career best. Expected slugging is 235, career best. And his career percentage is 39%, career best. And I know it's only 2 starts, but in the percentiles, he's at the top of the rankings. He has looked very, very, very good. And I was able to see him in person on Friday night, and he just looked calm up there on the mound. He's thrown two games, both over five innings, both only one run. But I think what you got to look at is he's not walking many people. Now, I know he's walked five, but he's also struck out 16. And one of Dylan Cease's biggest problems were getting people out with two outs. He was like, I believe one of like the worst pitchers. Or it was two strikes, my apologies. He was one of the worst pitchers in MLB. I think it was last year or 2 years ago when he had two strikes in the count. Basically meaning he would lose every hitter. He'd lose every count, and it would just go terrible for him. But this is something that we have been wanting to see from Dylan Cease. And something we're seeing now from Dylan Cease is on two strike counts this season, Dylan Cease has thrown almost 50% sliders. So instead of trying to blow away your 98, 99 mile per hour fastball, you're being able to get guys out with an effective slider, which I think is what is going to propel Dylan Cease's game. And, you know, I'm excited for Dylan Cease. I really think this guy has what it takes to be an ace on the staff, to be a Cy Young. And then we go to our other guy, which is Michael Kopech. Kopech, kind of, this is his basically first year as a starter, kind of like, the Sox are basically just, you know, putting, it's like the training wheels around him a little bit. Still trying to kind of figure things out. He's only a three-pitch pitcher, fastball, slider, curveball, still trying to work on some kinks. But for Kopech, he's had himself a strong start as well. He's made two starts, five innings and four innings of work. He's only given up one earned run and three hits. He has eight strikeouts to four walks. His control hasn't been the greatest, but I think it's also that transition to being a starter that maybe kind of messes with his control at the beginning of the year. But, I mean, he's doing a great job on the mound so far. Only one barrel. Is a 4.8 barrel percentage, which is really good. The exit velocity is at 90. The expected batting average against him is 180, which is a career best. The strikeout percentage is lower than last year, but like I said, he has a lot more time to work on that. And I think for Dylan Cease, or not Dylan Cease, my apologies, for Michael Kopech, I think one thing we're seeing is that he's slowing down his pitches to have more control and to have more movement on them. You know, because obviously we all know Kopech is a guy who can out of the gate throw 100, 101 miles per hour. Now we're seeing Michael Kopech kind of take it back and try to get more control on his pitches, basically. You know, I think he's, and I like what this, and I like kind of like what he's doing here. He's kind of basically concerning himself more with the control and movement of his pitches and how hard he's throwing them. I think in the beginning of his career, he just came out throwing fastballs and he realized that this is the major leagues and everybody can hit a fastball. So now, it's the movement you can have on those types of pitches. And it's the type of control, the way you can put them in the zone. And it puts the hitters in uncomfortable positions where they take that strike three or they get jammed or they just take an awkward swing and, you know, concedes to an out. So both of those guys have been really good for the White Sox so far. We'll see how much longer they can keep this up. Obviously, it gets a little harder because you're missing Giolito and Lynn. And we'll find out because both of these guys, their first two starts have been very well, and I've been very impressed with the both of them. So we're going to go to a break, and our sponsors are going to talk. And after that, we're going to talk about this week's games and, of course, give our bold predictions. Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped worked with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code CHI. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast. If you're just joining in, earlier we talked about the past series for the White Sox and kind of talked about their performances, the struggles of Leury Garcia, and kind of maybe what should happen to him and why he's been struggling. We also talk about the success and rise of Kopech and Cease out of the rotation so far. So we're at the end of our show, basically, which means we talk about the upcoming games are in our bold predictions. So with that being said, let's get right into it. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, the White Sox will have a doubleheader on Wednesday, April 20th, against the Guardians on 110. Game 1 will be Dallas Keuchel and Shane Bieber. Also important to notice that doubleheaders are 9 innings now, so just to give you that heads up. So that'll be Keuchel and Shane Bieber. Game 2 will be Jimmy Lambert and Tristan McKenzie. And then the series finale, which is at Thursday at 12:10 start time. Game 1 also on Wednesday is 1:10, and Game 2 is slated for 5:10. But the Thursday game at 12:10 will be Dylan Cease and Zach Plesac. And going into the weekend series, they'll go to Minnesota for the first time to face off against the Twins. The White Sox have themselves an AL Central trip, basically. And on Friday night, it will be Kopech against Bailey Auber. On Saturday at 3:05 on FS1, it'll be Vince Velasquez and Dylan Bundy, who has been pitching very well, Bundy has. And on Sunday at 1:10, it's going to be Dallas Keuchel and former Pirate and Ray, Chris Archer. So the White Sox, before next time we film our podcast, have 6 games remaining, all against teams that are under 500, all against teams that are in the AL Central. And these are the types of games where you can really create room. I know it's early in the year, but looking at the AL Central, the White Sox are 6-3. Also, the White Sox do have the best record in the MLB. The Kansas City Royals and Guardians are in second. They are 4-5. Tigers are 4-6, and the Twins are 4-7. The Guardians actually have been scoring a lot of runs, especially Jose Ramirez. He already has 15 RBIs and 3 home runs in 9 games. They've scored 49 runs, but they've also given up 38. Runs. And one interesting thing I thought was to point out, even though this is a White Sox Nation podcast, was that the Oakland Athletics have the number one offense in the MLB right now at 60 runs. Now, I look at it at runs. Obviously, there's a lot of other factors, but the fact that the Oakland A's have the most runs in the MLB right now is pretty shocking. Let's go back to our scheduled program. So, White Sox got 6 games on the board. I think that they will lose one and win one in the doubleheader. That, you know, not the best starting pitching for the White Sox in both of those. You never know what Dallas Keuchel, he did pretty well. Shane Bieber has always been a White Sox killer. He's always been, he's just been a great pitcher in general. And then you don't know what you're going to get from Jimmy Lambert. And then Tristan McKenzie has kind of been more of a, he's been more starter-wise, but he's also been, haven't been able to throw a lot of innings. So I'd say the White Sox take one and lose one. I'll go 1-1. And then on Thursday, I think the White Sox will win that game by a lot. I really like what I'm seeing by Dylan Cease. Also, Zach Plesac is a great pitcher as well. Can't forget that one. Great control from the Crown Point native. I think the White Sox will win that one, take the series 2-1 once again. And then I think the White Sox will basically sweep the Twins. Friday's my matchup I like, Kopech and Bailey Aber. Then Kopech is going to grow from the past two performances. And the White Sox have seen a lot of Bailey Aber last year. And then in Saturday's matchup, Velasquez and Dylan Bundy. Now, Dylan Bundy has been pitching very well. And if he pitches like he has the last two games, then the White Sox are in trouble. But I don't know. I think Vince Velasquez, after that first inning, he really showed some promise. It's going to be a tough one. I could be back and forth. But obviously, the Twins pitching is not good at all. So if you're able to get in that bullpen, I think the White Sox can easily win that game. And then on Sunday, it's Keuchel versus Chris Archer. I think that's another one you could toss up where it could be a win or a loss just due to the fact that you never know what you're going to get from Dallas Keuchel. But on the other hand, Chris Archer, you never know what they're going to get from him. And like I mentioned, the Twins bullpen is really bad. And Byron Buxton, I should mention, is probably going to be out. So that obviously is a huge factor because, I mean, Byron Buxton is just a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal baseball player. So that you always got to tie that one in together. So with that being said, that's going to be it. I predict the White Sox to go 5-1 or 4-2. Let us know what your projections are at White Sox Nation Twitter account. You can always listen to the White Sox Nation podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all supporting podcast platforms. This is your host, Jack Thiel, signing off and saying, have a great day, everybody.